This show marks the beginning of a new relationship for us with America's Test Kitchen. Starting this week, we're going to be checking in with the various personalities and experts from America's favorite cooking show. And this week, it's Doc Willoughby, the editorial director for magazines at America's Test Kitchen. Doc, it's so good to have you with us.
Hey, Lynn, it's great to be here.
Now, we're really excited about working together, and I'm going to get you to work right away.
I'm ready.
Okay. Let's talk pantries. Because this is the time of year, you know, the new year. People are kind of out with the old, in with the new. Have you got any thoughts of what we should be thinking about, directions we should take?
I do. And I think we should be going in the direction of Middle Eastern flavors. Now, one of the reasons I say that is that I've been predicting for 14 years that the next year is going to be the year of Mediterranean flavors, of Middle Eastern flavors. And but this year is going to be it. I'm confident. So I want to talk about a few ingredients that probably are familiar to many of your listeners, but maybe not to most. So we're going to start with an ingredient that I discovered so long ago, I don't even want to talk about it, when I first went to Turkey back in the late 70s. And it used to be very rare, but now you can find it in most, in any specialty shop or in many supermarkets now, and that's pomegranate molasses. This is a very simple product. It is just the juice of a slightly tart pomegranate that grows in the Middle East that's then boiled down to make a syrup, and then you add a little lemon juice and a little sugar. So it's very simple, but it has a really deep, deep, rich flavor. It's both tart and sweet at the same time, and it's got hundreds of uses. It's one of those things that, one of those ingredients, once you get it into your kitchen, you will start to find uses that you hadn't even thought of. I like to add a teaspoon of it to a vinaigrette. You can use it as a glaze for chicken or for other fowl. You can put it into a lamb stew at the end. You drop in a couple tablespoons of this. It's one of those ingredients that not only is great on its own, but it brings out other flavors and just enriches all kinds of dishes.
Yeah, you know what I realized? It's really wonderful when you make panna cotta.
Oh, yes.
Because you just stir it in and it's pretty. It's that gorgeous sort of very pale magenta. That's a nice way to put it.
That's a perfect way to put it. Pale magenta. I like that.
Yeah. And it's really a dynamite ingredient. What else?
Well, another one, this is kind of a twofer, is za'atar. Now, za'atar is a twofer because in Arabic it both stands for a certain kind of thyme that grows in the Middle East and also for the spice paste, the spice rub, that's made using that kind of thyme. So here in America, we use just regular dried thyme, and then it's mixed with sesame seeds and sumac. Now, this is another reason that za'atar is a twofer, because sumac is another amazing ingredient. It's the ground up dried red berries of a sumac bush that grows in the Middle East, and it's very tart, but also very light. So it's like, it's kind of like a flavor of lemon, but a little lighter. And it's perfect for using when you want a sour taste, but you don't want, you know, the sour taste as if it were a lemon, but you don't want the liquid. And so it's perfectly suited for using in spice rubs. And this is the most famous spice rub. It's used in za'atar. And za'atar has, again, it's one of those things that has hundreds of uses. You can put it on in some olive oil and use it to dip bread into. It's great for any kind of fowl sprinkling on top of it. Just putting it in yogurt in the morning. It's one of those things, only got really three ingredients, but it's so complex and they complement each other so perfectly. There's a reason that for hundreds of years, it's been the primary spice rub in the Middle East. And we just love using it all kinds of ways.
My mouth is watering.
It should be. This is a really great thing. If you have simple roasted or boiled vegetables, sprinkle this on top of it. It takes you, 30 seconds, and you've got a really amazing dish, which is going to be a little different for most people. It's, since most people in our country aren't that familiar with za'atar, it's going to be something new and different for them, and it takes you no time at all.
So what's next?
Well, I'm going to very quickly make a case for a controversial ingredient which many people think is no good, and that is rose water. So you say rose water to many people, and they say grandma's linen closet. But that's because they've been using too much of it. If you use rose water very sparingly, it is it's sort of a romantic ingredient. It's got that floral quality, that beautiful aromaticity, and you use it just so you almost know what it is, but not quite. So don't use a tablespoon of it in your rice pudding. Use a teaspoon. And just that little trace of that sort of romantic, aromatic, floral ingredient is to me, is the essence of what Middle Eastern food is about.
Mm, I can actually smell it in my mind. Doc, thank you. Great
thank
talking
you,
with you. Doc Willoughby is editorial director of magazines at America's Test Kitchen, and he left us with a laundry list of dynamite recipes. DIY pomegranate molasses, use that in the pomegranate glaze roasted quail, then DIY za'atar, and that goes into roasted winter squash salad with za'atar and parsley, and finally the rose water. How about Turkish stuffed apricots with rose water and pistachio? You can find them all at splendidtable.org.